Talking Books is made possible by La Vida Dolce Cafe in Southern Village. Stop by for an afternoon pick-me-up, get a delicious nitro cold brew coffee, or indulge with a new gelato flavor. They typically have their book club that meets, not right now owing to COVID-19, but they are open and they've got their full menu of coffee, gelato, wine, and small plates available for takeout to enjoy with your favorite book from home. Joined on the phone by the one, the only, Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and Chapel Hill's Community Arts and Culture Department for another round of Talking Books. Susan, how are you?
I am spectacular, Aaron Keck. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. I'm looking out the window and the sun's coming down, and then I look at the radar and it's like pouring rain in Hillsboro.
So in Hillsboro,
one of those
weird
days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it goes. So how was your 4th of July? What if anything did you do?
Not much, I have to say. It was funny. I was thinking about this time last year, and that was the first year that we moved the fireworks, which is now part of this community arts and culture tent of, you know, resources and services. And, we moved it to Southern Village. We had some new staff people. We had to rebuild this whole event. It was just, you know, I think we all went home and slept for like 4 days afterwards.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then this year, I just kind of slept through in the fourth. It was such a different year.
Yeah. And it's like, it was a great event last time. And like, I remember coming out of that and talking about, oh, here's what really worked. Here's what was perfect about the Southern Village. Here are the little glitches that happened over the course of the day and lessons learned for next time. And now we just got to keep that folder in a drawer for another year, right?
Exactly. And we were going to kill it this year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Liquid Pleasure was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just had the whole thing lined up. So, I have a really great team, though, both within arts and culture and across the town. So whenever we can get together and do fireworks again, I am confident that it will be bigger and better than ever before.
Awesome. What's happening
at
the library?
How was your fourth? What did you do?
It was good. No, I spent the entire weekend. I've got the live and local hour with local music, and I hadn't caught up on local music for the last few months, so I spent most of the weekend just listening to a lot of local music so I could build up the library a little bit more. So it was a very, very chill sit on the couch and listen to music for 2 days kind of thing.
That sounds lovely.
It was great, yeah. So what's going on at the library?
So at the library, well, let's see. My staff had a very well-deserved holiday break because they're just busting their butts with curbside pickup. And, you know, we are continuing to really refine that service. It's incredibly popular. If I can do it, I just closed out my window. I had some numbers to share. It's a really popular service. So again, who knows when we will fully reopen the building. But right now we're focusing on getting materials in people's hands. And so here's some numbers to share with you. We, on June 15th was when we were through our experimental period and we opened up the service broadly. Mm. And on June 15th, we served 247 users and they picked up 744 items. So let's say 250 people picked up 750 items.
All right.
A mere 2 weeks later, we basically doubled that. So on July 2nd, we served 492 people, and they picked up almost 1,400 items.
Nice.
And if you're wondering, currently, there are just over 4,000 items sitting on our hold shelves waiting to be picked up. So that just speaks to the volume of how much people are hungry for our stuff, whether it's books or DVDs. And my staff is really, really working hard. So I couldn't be prouder of the community that we serve and the folks that I have on the team serving them.
That's awesome. So it's been pretty consistent, like an average of 3 items per person. Is that usual? Is that like typically what the average is for the library?
Ooh, that was math, Aaron. I'm not sure about that.
I'm a man
that.
Of many talents.
That's right.
Simple division.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know how that compares. Well, so one thing that we do know, so that's on a per checkout. We're averaging 3 items, I guess, per person. But I will say that we do know that Chapel Hill is the highest circulating public library per capita in the state. And I think our average per capita right now stands at about 19. So every person on average in Chapel Hill checks out 19 items a year. Now, that's a whole different number. But I will say we had a meeting today about sort of how we can continue to improve the process. And my staff shared that we're serving basically 70 customers every hour. And it's very intense right now. It's very complex because we have to socially distance and we have the process, you know, there's five different tents and it's very complex. So that will continue to be the news from the Chapel Hill Public Library for a while. And then the other big news is if you drive up to grab your books, you will see that the parking expansion is well underway.
Yes, nice.
That's the one that was funded by our fabulous friends. So we'll have more room to spread folks out and park when we get through all of this. And nice. That'll be great. Yeah.
Speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library. So with all of that in mind, Chapel Hillians are hungry for books. Let's recommend some books. So we're doing this on July 8th, which is Wednesday of this week, and we thought we would recommend books based on this day in history, right?
Yes, and I always, like, this is one of my, I mean, yes, it's kind of one of our fall books,
right,
or fallbacks, when we're too COVID brain dead to think about crime, but it's also always fun, right?
Yeah, yeah. And like, every day is different, right? Like, you look and you see, oh, this happened, that happened, oh, and that reminds me of this awesome book that I read, so I think it's great.
Yes.
Yeah. All right,
so who's going first?
You
me?
Are going first. You usually have more recommendations than I do, so I was, like, letting you go first.
Okay. All right, let's see. This day in history, the first thing that came up for me was on July 8th, 1951, Paris celebrated its 2000th birthday. So it would be too much math for me to figure out what today is, you know, 1951 to 2000 plus, I don't know. But anyways, today, whatever year it is, July 8th is, I guess, when Paris celebrates its birthday.
Right.
So I was thinking about books set in Paris, books about Paris, also thinking about, you know, it's summer reading time and people often want kind of thrillers and mysteries. So I want to recommend a big series of books. There are many, many in the series now, but the author is Cara Black. And the series, the main character is Amy LeDuc. And the books are all set in Paris, and each book is set in a different neighborhood of Paris. So they're all called Murder in the Blank.
Oh, nice.
So Murder in the Murder in Belleville, Murder in the Bastille, Murder in Clichy, Murder in Montmartre. I think I stopped reading these about four or five books in, and I think there's like 12 or 15 now. So the main character is a private investigator who primarily looks at like tech crimes. And in the first book, she kind of swears that she's not going to do people crimes. She's not going to do murders and things like that. But of course, she falls into a murder investigation. So she's a strong female character. She's a PI, so she's not a cop, but there's like always cops in the books. And what I love about this series is it's those types of mysteries like the Donna Leon writes these set in Italy, and there's of course all of the Nordic mysteries. These really take you to a place, and that place is part of the character. So it's like armchair travel through mystery fiction.
Nice.
So if you like mysteries, if you like things set in foreign places, strong female characters and PIs, Cara Black's Murder in the Blank series is fantastic.
Is it just a good rule that if you ever find yourself as a hard-boiled detective in a mystery novel series, never, ever, ever say, I will never work with this thing, because invariably that thing is going to walk in your door with a case like two pages later?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whether it's like a dame or, you know, a certain type of case,
people
that is a
cases,
good rule of thumb. Yes.
Eddie Valiant going, I don't work with toons, and then like Roger Rabbit shows
right.
up, like every single time, right?
I love it. That's a truism. Yep.
What does it say about me, though, when you're talking about, like, oh, books set in Paris and everyone likes thrillers? Like, I started racking my brain, and the only thing that I could think of, and, like, the book that immediately popped into my head, and I can't think of a second one, is The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah. The Da Vinci Code, right.
Yeah.
And then that other Angels and Demons. I actually liked better.
I like that one better, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'm going to take it back to the U.S. because on July 8th, 1947, this is something that actually happened the day before, but the July 8th, 1947 is the day that the newspaper comes out with the report. The Roswell Daily Record in New Mexico comes out with a report in the newspaper about the Air Force capturing a flying saucer. So this is the day that the public was first made aware of the Roswell, New Mexico alien UFO encounter, whatever incident that has sparked so much controversy and debate and discussion and History Channel documentaries ever since. So thinking about aliens, what is my favorite alien book? And there's, again, a whole bunch of possibilities, but the one that I kept coming back to, not my favorite Kurt Vonnegut novel, but definitely up there. And now that I'm saying this, I realize that I probably should be saying Slaughterhouse-Five, but I'm not. I'm going to say, Sirens of Titan, which is about a message that is suddenly received by Earth from aliens from a far distant, and they have to figure out what the message means. And it turns out that the aliens have been, like, manipulating human history for decades and centuries and millennia and generations just to get this message to us. And what is the message? They have to figure that out. And it's such a great novel, and I think it's underrated because everyone reads Slaughterhouse-Five, everyone reads Cat's Cradle. This is, I think, slightly lesser known, but it's one of his best.
I was going to say, this is not one that I know, so can you tell me the title again?
The Sirens of Titan. And it's,
that's a great title.
Yeah, right? Titan is the, I think it's one of Jupiter's moons. It's one of the moons of, one of those planets. And I think the notion is that, like, they used Titan to get the message to Earth. So that was what that was about. But yeah, it's a super, super fun book.
I like that. All right. So let's see what else happened on this day in history. On this day in history, I saw two things involving Korea. One, in 1950, MacArthur was named the commander of UN forces in Korea. And then on this day in 1994, Kim Il-sung died. So I was thinking about books set in Korea, and I've recommended novels set in North Korea before, but I wanted to also recommend some nonfiction. So again, thinking about summer reading, and people are in the mindset of kind of page turners, and if you're going to read nonfiction, it's got to be, like, engrossing. Unless you're Aaron Keck, and it can be, like, long and boring.
That is engrossing to me.
Gotcha. I wanted to and so also personally, I love to read novels or nonfiction where, like, people escape from cults or, like, they run away with the circus. So, like, the Venn diagram of circus and cult, I think of North Korea, kind of.
Fair.
So,
how many books are there in this, like, section of the library? Like, the running away from circuses and cults section. Like, how many shelves does that cover?
Well, there would be more if Tracy would buy all the ones that I want her to buy. But she's like, I can't. I would spend my entire budget on this if I just bought books that Susan Brown wants to read about people who escape from cults and or run away with the circus. But this is one that I can recommend highly. So this is called In Order to Live, A North Korean Girl's Journey to Freedom. And the author is Yeon Mi Park. And so there are several books out there like this that are these tales of escape from the North Korean regime. And I like hers in particular, in part because I think this is the opening line. She says, I am most grateful for two things. One, that I was born in North Korea, and two, that I escaped from North Korea. So it's that sort of dual-edged thing of, you know, loving your homeland, but needing to leave it. And then this book in particular you really get a picture of just how oppressive life is there. And then she escapes to China. And of course, there's human trafficking. She's smuggled over. Her life there is terrible. She's, you know, a victim there. And so it's this, you both get the just harrowing, horrible insight into all of this, but also it's ultimately hopeful and the strength of the human spirit. And it's a really, really well done book. So
awesome.
In Order to Live by Yeonmi Park is a great read.
Okay, we're running out of time. I want to give you one more chance, so I'll make my next recommendation really quick. Today in history, in 1831, this is not something significant that happened. It was someone significant who was born. John Pemberton was born in 1831, and he became famous years later for doing one thing and one thing only, and that is inventing Coca-Cola. In his soda shop one day when he was mixing, or his pharmacy one day, right, when he was mixing what was a headache remedy, and he added carbonated water instead of regular water, and that eventually turned into Coca-Cola. So I want to recommend a book from 2013 by an author named Mark Pendergrast, which fits into the genre that we've talked about before, like, oh, the history of salt, the history of cod, the history of, like, this specific thing and how it fits into just history and culture in general. This is a book about the history of Coca-Cola, and it's called For God, Country, and Coca-Cola, The Definitive History of the Great American Soft Drink and the Company That Makes It. And it takes you through this, like, journey through America in the 20th century, basically, like, through the lens of Coca-Cola and how it becomes this big, huge, ubiquitous thing and what impact that has on society.
Well, my last book is also about a beverage, Aaron.
Nice.
But it's about booze.
Okay.
So, in 1918, on this day, Ernest Hemingway was wounded. He was an 18-year-old ambulance driver for the Red Cross, and he was wounded on the Italian front. So I want to recommend a book that I had the pleasure of meeting the author, and we actually hosted an event at the Crunkleton. This is like 5 years ago now, but the book is called To Have and Have Another, A Hemingway Cocktail Companion.
Oh, that's such a good title.
It's such a great book. So each chapter takes a deep dive into a cocktail that appears in a Hemingway novel and gives you the history of the drink, the context of it in Hemingway's book, and a great authentic Hemingway era recipe for it. And it's really, really fun. So To Have and Have Another by Philip Green.
Love it. And again, check out more on the library at chapelhillpubliclibrary.org. That's Talking Books for today. Susan Brown, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, let's keep the conversation going. Check out La Vida Dolce. Their shaded patio is the perfect socially distant spot to enjoy coffee or wine while you read a new book or revisit an old favorite. Today is Wednesday. That means it's Wine Down Wednesday. So weather permitting, they'll have live music on the patio, but half off bottles of wine, too. And their staff is following strict safety protocol, ready to give you the fun experience you've been missing. Check out LaVidaDolceCafe.com for their menu. Follow along on social media to stay up to date with weekly specials.